Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Honorable and respected elders and brothers, we come to this time of the year. First, it used to be a day or two before the last Friday of November, and slowly we can see it progresses, and now it spans over several weeks that we will see advertisements for Black Friday. What is the Islamic aspect with regards to all of this? From the very, very beginning, from the foundational issues of our Shariat, we all know that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider. Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul quwwati al-Mateen. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the Razzaq. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the absolute provider. There is no provider besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whatever our sustenance be, whatever our rizq be, all of that has been ascertained by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The ayat of the Quran Sharif is famous. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has taken the full responsibility for our sustenance. When Allah sends us into this earth, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has ascertained our sustenance from the very first time that we are in the womb of our mothers till our last breath on the surface of this earth. That is the responsibility of Allah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has ascertained that. In the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going into the masjid, and he had a saddle of his that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt that needs to be looked after. So he gave it to a Yahud, a Jew, to look after. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeded, and he went into the house of Allah, into the masjid. And after a while, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes out of the masjid, and he finds that there is no Yahud and there is no saddle. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued his normal day-to-day activities and routine until a day or two after this incident, he sees and he recognizes his saddle that is being sold by a particular shopkeeper. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquires from the shopkeeper, whose saddle is this and what is the price? So the shopkeeper alludes to the fact that this saddle was brought by that same Yahud and the price is 10 coins. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to himself, and the expression was heard by the shopkeeper, that this is rizq, this is sustenance, this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordained. The price that he is asking for, was the exact amount I was supposed to give him as a tip for looking after. But then that is rizq and sustenance that has been ordained and ascertained by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, insan will have the choice either to acquire it through a halal means or through a haram means. So brothers, this has been ascertained by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in the Mubarak hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the questions that we are going to be asked, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned five, we just discussed one, is that how you acquired your sustenance, and number two, how did you spend it? In many instances, many of us feel and we know that we must acquire it halal. That give us the understanding of halal and haram. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who used to say that in the marketplace we abstain from many, many business deals because there was a slight doubt in it. And because of that doubt, we did not engage in that particular transaction. That was Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. But for us, halal is clarified, haram is clarified, so that many of us understand. But the understanding that wealth is in our hands, the common mindset is, I can spend it in the way I so desire. Now on the one hand, our Shariat has demarcated two aspects. One is, we should never ever be so miserly that when we spend, it is not sufficient upon ourselves. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the ayat of the Quran Sharif speaks about Ibadur Rahman. Allah speaks about those slaves of Allah, those very chosen individuals that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has chosen, and one quality amongst the others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is when they spend. On the one hand, they are not extravagant, and on the other hand, they are not miserly. In other words, they will spend sufficiently, they draw the balance between extravagance and miserliness. However, we find in the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about another aspect that is even worse than extravagance. And what is that? Allah ta'ala speaks about tabdhir. Tabdhir is when a person spends on something that is haram. To be extravagant, israf, is something that we spend on halal. However, we go beyond the bounds and the limitations of the Shariat. Some ulama have given a very big contrast to make us understand. One is a person indulges in purchasing of food and he over-purchases. And whatever is left over, that is thrown away, wa na'udhu billah. And the other is a person purchases a haram item, for example, like alcohol. So, innal mubadhirina, those people who have spent against the Shariat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala akins them to being the brother of shaitan. So, we understand that whatever Allah has given us, on the one hand, we are not going to be miserly, and on the other hand, we are not going to be extravagant, not going to spend on something that is haram and forbidden in the Shariat. Now that is one aspect that we should bear in mind. Then we find a hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith that teaches us contentment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person gets up in the morning and he is safe and secure in his family. In other words, there hasn't been any violent incident or there hasn't been any violation of his rights. That person gets up safe and secure and he has his sustenance, his food for the rest of the day. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it is as though that person owns this world and whatever the world contains. If we just sometimes take stock of whatever we have in our homes. It is far more than one day, and there is always a desire for us to purchase more. And this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about just one day's provisions should satisfy us and keep us content. Now on occasions like this, when we have these type of Black Fridays and we have these type of special offers, what happens? More often than not, the offer is very special, it's reduced and all of that. But together with that, one needs to understand and realize that as a believer, what about the situation of incurring a debt? This is one very important aspect. Many of these offers go side by side with creating a situation in which we fall into debt. If you look at South African statistics, 30% of South Africans are indebted and 37% of them cannot come out of it. And this is getting worse day by day, and the kind of offers that are made, the kind of pictures that are painted in front of us with regards to credit and credit cards only create a greater and greater difficulty day by day. You know, once our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Muhammad ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked up towards the sky. And then a while passed and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam focused his gaze once again towards us. However, he took the palm of his hand and he placed it on his forehead. This happens when a person gets some surprising news, when a person gets some information that is not conducive. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, and then he made a statement that a very grave matter has been revealed to me. Muhammad ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that we all became filled with awe. And because of that situation, nobody dared to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what that grave matter was about. Hence, he says the next day, when I met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was that grave matter that you spoke about yesterday? So our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed to me that if a person went out in the path of Allah and that person got martyred and then he was given life and he got martyred for the second time and then again he was given life and he was martyred for the third time. Now brothers, we put this into context. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. When we turn the pages of the Quran Sharif, we turn the pages of the Mubarak Hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find that the most virtuous mode, the most virtuous death, is the death of a martyr. How many are those ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that depict the virtue of a martyr, that his soul is lifted and then it is taken into birds, green birds that fly and throng around the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, around the lamppost of the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How close and how beloved is a martyr in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can never ever be exaggerated. And here our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about a person that is martyred and then Allah Pak gives him life again and then he's martyred for the second time and then again he's given life and again he's martyred for the third time. A three times martyr. The accolade times three. However, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that if that person had passed on and there was a debt that he owed to anyone, then the soul of that individual will be detained. That soul of that individual will be suspended. Some of the muhaddithin have stated that it means that whatever was supposed to be his virtue will not be granted to him because of his death. Now can we think about even death can come, but the death of a person will never ever be written off in the eyes and in the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this created a great deal of concern, a great deal of worry for our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is one narration that one person passed away and he had left 300 silver coins. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by a family member of the person, and that person was obviously the executor, and he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I distribute this amongst the heirs? Now this is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He probably got information by way of wahi or any other way, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, the right of the creditors is greater than the right of the inheritors. Go out and give all, pay back all the creditors, whatever is being owed. The person came back to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam after a day or two. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired, are all the matters settled? He said, there is one lady that has made a claim of 2 coins. However, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she does not have any evidence. She does not have any proof, but she's making a claim. Again, wahi comes down, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells this brother, her claim is true, pay her before anybody else. Then we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a person that was most compassionate, most concerned for this ummah. How many times do we discuss in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he made dua for this ummah. He made dua for this ummah after every salat. His concern for this ummah. In one hadith he states that every Nabi had a dua that was granted to him, that was mustajab, over and above all the other accepted duas. This dua was most readily accepted. He said all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam had utilized this one dua in this world. But I have deferred it. I have delayed it till the day of Qiyamah as a shafa'a and an intercession for my ummah. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, on one occasion, a janaza was placed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for him to perform. Each one of us would obviously have that desire that the most virtuous person, the most righteous, the greatest wali, the greatest saint should perform our janaza salat. And now, this is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That janaza is placed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired, did this person have any debt? Somebody replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this person had a debt upon him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the sahaba, you make the janazah salat. That Nabi that was so willing to for Allah to forgive, that Nabi now steps back because of a debt. Of course, the muhaddithin have written that this was possibly not a debt that was because of some difficulty, but it was a debt because of material greed. that sometimes a person is hard-pressed, a person is in need, he's got nowhere to turn to, nothing but to ask for a loan, then that will be a different issue. But more often than not, what we're discussing is there are things that we don't need, things that we can do without, and we are purchasing, and we're purchasing these things on account, we're taking it on credit, we're bringing the difficulty upon ourselves. So Sayyidina Abu Qatada, radiallahu ta'ala, and he was a sahabi, he said to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform the janazah salah, I will take the responsibility of the debt. So hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes forward, and he performs the janazah salat of this marhum person. And on the next day, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Sayyidina Abu Qatada, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked Abu Qatada, O Abu Qatada, did you pay the debt of that person? Look at how particular Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Abu Qatada replied in the affirmative, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had paid the debt. I had found out who the creditor was, and I had paid the debt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, up to the time that the debt was paid, his skin was burning. So brothers, it is not a matter of a material issue. It is not a matter that you and I should take lightly. You know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, the initial stage of a debt is a worry. When a person takes a debt, a loan, then it creates a worry in his heart. And then as time progresses, the person is unable to pay, then it becomes a war. Because now people go to and fro, and the matter is so severe that we find our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, saying that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would so often make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, seeking protection from two things. One is from sin. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'tham wal-maghram. And the second is debt. Wallah, I seek your refuge from committing sin, and I seek your refuge from debt. He did it so often that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make this dua for protection from debt to such an extent. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, because when a person has a debt and is unable to pay, two things become imperative. One is the person lies, and the other, he breaks his promises. Look at these two. These are two signs of hypocrisy and nifaq. So hence, ulama have written then, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi actually has written that it becomes imperative for each and every one of us to live within our means. So brothers and friends, there may be a lot of offers that are flashing at us, but what we need to ask ourselves, the very important questions. Number one, do I need it? Number two, can I afford it? In Islam, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبَعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, in these few minutes that are left, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when he was approached because of the dream of the king for him to interpret, then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam set out a system for them, that there are these years, 7 years of good rains. So in these 7 years of good rains, what you do is you harvest, you store, and you eat a little from it. Because the next 7 years are going to be years of drought. And now what you've stored, you are going to wisely use from there, and you're going to keep a little as seeds for when the 7 years of drought comes to an end. From here, ulama have written that we all need to learn the lesson of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, and that is, we need to live within our budget. We need to earn, but we need to learn how to spend and spend wisely so that throughout our life there would not be difficulties. When those difficulties, if they do come, then we turn towards Allah and we seek the protection of Allah and we seek the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But as believers, let us not willingly go out there, spend recklessly, and then for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives, there is this regret and remorse. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a...
Brothers upstairs to please remain silent.